Hi, Bob Barney with The Plain Truth Today, brought to you by theplaintruth.com. And we're going to do a series on Ronald Reagan versus Donald Trump's policies. And I think by the time this series ends, and it's going to be a generic series, but we will replay from time to time. And the reason we like to do this is because we have new people coming on all the time, listening to these podcasts, or broadcasts, as I like to call them. And so we replay sometimes as best of Bob, and sometimes we don't even do them as best of Bob's because they're timeless. And I think this is going to be a timeless program on Ronald Reagan, who I still consider the greatest president of the 1900s, the 20th century, and still the greatest president of my lifetime. So that includes right up to this date. And you will see there was a marketable difference between what Ronald Reagan stood for and what Donald Trump stands for. And in both administrations, by the way, Donald Trump 1 and 2 was radically different. One of the things that I think we should start off by saying is that Donald Trump has tendencies of being a Democrat. He believes that government is a key instrument in solving all the nation's ills, where Ronald Reagan did not. And it comes when it comes with tariffs, it comes when it comes with immigration, it comes with all kinds of things that the two presidents were very different. And I believe Ronald Reagan's approach was much different than Donald Trump's and was more successful. I do not believe in 25 to 30 years you will see a Trump presidency standing the test of time as the Reagan presidency did last the test of time some 35 years later, and we're still talking about how he changed how everyone views the United States of America's government role. And I'm going to play some videos off of YouTube. It's just going to be the audio. You're not going to watch anything, but you're going to listen to Ronald Reagan, and you're going to see a vast difference between what Reagan thought was Americanism and what was false Americanism and what Donald Trump believes. And I think Donald Trump's first presidency was very good. And I told you that. A lot of middle-class people like myself that's in business did very well with Trump 1.0. But even Trump 1.0 will no way, no how hold a candle to Ronald Reagan 1.0 and 2.0. And here's the first one I want to show you. This is the inauguration in
1980, a landslide by any measure. Ronald Reagan defeats President Jimmy Carter by 10 percentage points on the popular vote, 8.5 million votes. He wins 44 states, 489 electoral votes, and sweeps a Republican Senate into power on his coattails.
Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody.
Just to show you, when Ronald Reagan became president, and this one broadcast goes into that, but we won't play the rest of it. One of the things that should be realized that in the entire 8 years of Ronald Reagan's presidency, he never had control of the House of Representatives. He had to work with a Democratic House of Representatives led by Tip O'Neill, who Ronald Reagan was able to win over. And through persuasion and not through holding a stick at people's heads with lawsuits or whatever, Ronald Reagan was able to get the entire world to look at a different presidency than we do now. Here's another outtake from a YouTube video that I want to play now.
Our peaceful trading partners are not our enemies. They are our allies. We should beware of the demagogues who are ready to declare a trade war against our friends, weakening our economy, our national security, and the entire free world, all while cynically waving the American flag. The expansion of the international economy is not a foreign invasion. It is an American triumph, one we worked hard to achieve, and something central to our vision of a peaceful and prosperous world of freedom. After the Second World War, America led the way to dismantle trade barriers and create a world trading system that set the stage for decades of unparalleled economic growth. Yes, back in 1776, our founding fathers believed that free trade was worth fighting for. And we can celebrate their victory, because today, trade is at the core of the alliance that secure the peace and guarantee our freedom. It is the source of our prosperity and the path to an even brighter future for America.
I think a fundamental difference between the two presidents is that Ronald Reagan believed in the American people. not the MAGA people and only talk to one crowd of opinion, but Ronald Reagan attributed his success and the success of this nation based on the American people. And that also means that the Reagan presidency was not at war with the American people. And we're going to play some other audios to absolutely prove this point, that Ronald Reagan fundamentally had a different view of America than most Americans do today. And that's a problem because America is falling apart. We have a divider in chief right now and not a commander in chief right now who united the American people. I'll give you an example. The first thing we played when Ronald Reagan became president, the tax rate was 70% on many Americans. He lowered that to 29%. And since Ronald Reagan, the top tax rate has never exceeded 39%, nowhere near that 70% that Ronald Reagan first dealt with. And even liberal Democrats like AOC and Bernie Sanders does not favor a 70% income tax any longer. If you notice, Reagan won the argument about high taxes destroys the economy. He also won, in my opinion, the argument about tariffs causing problems with the economy and how people waving the American flag like they're patriots are really not doing the American people or the American economy any good, especially if they think big government is the answer. Ronald Reagan was the champion of absolutely proving and showing by his leadership that government did not hold the answers to our problems, that the people held the answers to our problem, and that when government gets in the way, actually, we go backwards. And that is a thing that the Democrats have tried time and time again, is to have big government solve all of our problems, and time again, no problems were solved. President Johnson's Great Society spent trillions on poverty, but poverty never got lowered. They spent billions and hundreds of billions on education, but education got worse. And here's Ronald Reagan explaining on a radio talk show interview about the big government problem.
You triple our troubles, and we're better off than any other people on earth. And we've asked so much of government, and we've gotten in the habit over the last 40 years of thinking that government has the answers. There's very little that government can do as efficiently and as economically as the people can do themselves. And if government would shut the doors and sneak away for about 3 weeks, we'd never miss them.
That's about the case. I remember people even saying with the government shutdowns, it's never as bad as everybody makes them out to be, except for government employees. And the idea that government can solve things is just not what Ronald Reagan was about. Ronald Reagan was trying to get inflation under control, something that Donald Trump needs to figure out himself, because in Trump 1.0, he did have inflation under control, and it was great for the middle class and for the poor people. Ronald Reagan accurately understood that the poor people, especially, and the lower middle class folks out there suffer the most when there is inflation. I did a show a long time ago and I explained how rich people make money when everything is inflated in price. And I was told that by a very rich man that I knew when I was back selling marine paint, and he was buying some bottom paint, anti-fouling bottom paint for his boat. And he said that rich people never vote Republican because Ronald Reagan-type Republicans lower the cost of goods. And when you're an investor and the only way you make money is buying something at 10 cents a pound and selling it for 25 cents a pound, you need inflation for rich people to continue to get richer. When Ronald Reagan came in office, as this man pointed out to me, orange juice, which he supplied all the orange juice for public supermarkets, went from 25 cents a pound to 10 cents a pound, and he lost his shirt on that whole time of Reagan's presidency. And he made it clear that rich people, unlike people like myself, who was middle class and trying to make money for, in an honest way, in my opinion, always vote Republican, but the really rich always vote Democratic because of inflation. Here's Ronald Reagan on inflation.
The fact is, we'll never build a lasting economic recovery by going deeper into debt at a faster rate than we ever have before. It took this nation 166 years until the middle of World War II to finally accumulate a debt of $95 billion. It took this administration just the last 12 months to add $95 billion to the debt. And this administration has rung up almost one-fourth of the total national debt in just these short 19 months.
The administration he's talking about, this is in 1980, he's talking about the Carter years, when if you're my age or anywhere near my age, you remember the runaway inflation, the bank interest rates, the price of food, the price of gas, everything going up under Jimmy Carter's policies, Democratic policies of tariffs and of trying to have government price controls that Richard Nixon started, and it failed miserably for Richard Nixon as well, and that Jimmy Carter doubled down on. And Ronald Reagan promised it the inflation, which is a very serious tax on the poor people and the middle class people, was one of his top priorities once he became president. And let's continue on with this interview that he gave back in 1980.
Inflation is the cause of recession and unemployment, and we're not going to have real prosperity or recovery until we stop fighting the symptoms and start fighting the disease. There's only one cause for inflation: government spending more than government takes in. The cure is a balanced budget. Ah, but they tell us 80% of the budget is uncontrollable. It's fixed by laws passed by Congress. Well, laws passed by Congress can be repealed by Congress. And if Congress is unwilling to do this, then isn't it time we elect a Congress that will? Soon after he took office, Mr. Ford promised he would end inflation. Indeed, he declared war on inflation, and we all donned those win buttons to whip inflation now. Unfortunately, the war, if it ever really started, was soon over. Mr. Ford, without win button, appeared on TV and promised he absolutely would not allow the federal deficit to exceed $60 billion, which incidentally was $5 billion more than the biggest previous deficit we'd ever had. Later, he told us it might be as much as $70 billion. Now we learn it's $80 billion or more.
This is Ronald Reagan back in 1977, after Jimmy Carter won office, explaining why President Gerald Ford, a Republican, again, like Richard Nixon, tried all kinds of price controls and government interference to get inflation under control. But he never got it under control, and neither did Jimmy Carter. Inflation actually tripled under Jimmy Carter than over Gerald Ford, which doubled over Richard Nixon. And Reagan accurately predicted that unless we get inflation under control, the result would be a recession. I believe we've been in a recession now since COVID, personally, and it was fueled by President Biden's inflation, by the government debt and by other means, but the inflation that happened since COVID has decimated middle-class families in America and absolutely did worse to the lower-class people who can no longer live paycheck to paycheck. They now lose money between paycheck to paycheck. And Ronald Reagan and his policies was to fight inflation, which he won on inflation. I remember when gas was, I think, $1.19 a gallon when he took office, somewhere in that's out of my memory, I didn't research it. But I remember it going down to 49 and 59 cents in half. To say that today, gas was about $3.15 at Biden's height of his presidency. Right now, it's about $2.82. Not much difference. It would have to go to about $1.50 to $1.60 a gallon before we had the reduction in gasoline prices that Ronald Reagan had. Oil was selling for, in 1979, about $35 a barrel. Sounds good today at $60 a barrel. But Ronald Reagan's presidency, by 1984, you know what the price of a barrel of oil was in 1984? $3 a barrel. And gas plummeted because of it. This is what happens when you go after inflation. And the truth of the matter is that gas and oil prices is the number one fueling of inflation, more so than government spending, honestly. Government spending is bad, and the deficit is going to cause inflation, especially when the Fed prints money to be able to pay off this deficit that we have. And that causes inflation because it ruins the value of the dollar. You know, when you listen to the business channels and you see the flasher, gold got stronger over the last 2 weeks because it's believed that the Fed is going to cut interest rates. Well, if it's so good and Donald Trump wants interest rates to be cut and you have all these experts saying we need to cut interest rates, then why does gold go up when we cut interest rates? What would be the reason for that? Well, as I explained before, gold never goes up in value. Gold is always the same value it should have been. It's still about $20 an ounce is the real value of gold. But because of our inflation and our debt and the devaluing of our dollar, gold now is at 4,200, and who knows, the time you listen to this program, it could be 5,000. Eventually, I believe gold's going to be 10,000. And that means the dollar will be worth 3.5 times less than it's worth today. And that's due to the prices of fuel oil, the prices of inflation, and government interference. I'll be right back after this brief word about The Plain Truth Today. Hi, Bob Barney for The Plain Truth Today, brought to you by theplaintruth.com, the one news source to explain why things are happening, what your future is going to be like, and what God has predicted about your future. Most news programs don't get into God's prophecies, but God's prophecies are more important than any pundit on the TV you're going to ever watch or on the radio you're ever going to listen to, because God's prophecies are going to come true, and The Plain Truth knows that. That's theplaintruth.com. Go there every day. Thank you. Well, we're back to the Ronald Reagan versus the Donald Trump presidencies, and the biggest difference between them is tariff, immigration, inflation. And we're going to go on with this study. Again, we're going to play another speech for Ronald Reagan in 1988, I believe it was, and he's talking about what they were able to do and talks again about the economy, inflation, and big government's problems.
History records the power of the ideas that brought us here those 7 years ago, ideas like the individual's right to reach as far and as high as his or her talents will permit, the free market as an engine of economic progress, and as an ancient Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu said, govern a great nation as you would cook a small fish. Do not overdo it. Well, these ideas were part of a larger notion, a vision, if you will, of America herself, an America not only rich in opportunity for the individual, but an America, too, of strong families and vibrant neighborhoods, an America whose divergent but harmonizing communities were a reflection of a deeper community of values, the value of work, of family, of religion, and to the love of freedom that God places in each of us and whose defense he is entrusted in a special way to this nation.
That's Ronald Reagan talking about the American will, the American character, and what makes America the city on the hill, the country like no other country since the foundation of this world has ever achieved what America has achieved. And it's a promise, by the way, if you listen to this program, that God gave to Abraham and Jacob gave to the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. And Ephraim, which is the United States of America, was called by Jacob in this blessing would be the greatest nation to ever exist on the face of the earth until Christ returned. And I believe you are seeing it, and you have seen it with the presence of the American people and the United States of America in world history. The next outtake I want to give on this program is Ronald Reagan's very last speech as president. And it's very moving. It's very moving indeed. And see if you see a difference between his idea of immigration and what made America great and Donald Trump's idea of immigration and what he says is ruining America. Listen to the difference. Listen to Ronald Reagan's last speech, and he chose to do it on immigration. Remember, Donald Trump is a president that actually pardoned a lot of, about, I guess, 3 million illegal Mexicans that came here illegally, but were working honestly, making a living, and helping the American economy. Here's Ronald Reagan's last speech.
Since this is the last speech that I will give as president, I think it's fitting to leave one final thought, an observation about a country which I love. It was stated best in a letter I received not long ago. A man wrote me and said, you can go to live in France, but you cannot become a Frenchman. You can go to live in Germany or Turkey or Japan, but you cannot become a German, a Turk, or Japanese. But anyone from any corner of the earth can come to live in America and become an American. Yes, the torch of Lady Liberty symbolizes our freedom and represents our heritage, the compact with our parents, our grandparents, and our ancestors. It is that lady who gives us our great and special place in the world. For it's the great life force of each generation of new Americans that guarantees that America's triumph shall continue unsurpassed into the next century and beyond. Other countries may seek to compete with us, but in one vital area, as a beacon of freedom and opportunity that draws the people of the world, no country on earth comes close. This, I believe, is one of the most important sources of America's greatness. We lead the world because, unique among nations, we draw our people, our strength, from every country and every corner of the world. And by doing so, we continuously renew and enrich our nation. While other countries cling to the stale past, here in America, we breathe life into dreams. We create the future, and the world follows us into tomorrow. Thanks to each wave of new arrivals to this land of opportunity, we're a nation forever young, forever bursting with energy and new ideas, and always on the cutting edge, always leading the world to the next frontier. This quality is vital to our future as a nation. If we ever closed the door to new Americans, our leadership in the world would soon be lost. A number of years ago, an American student traveling in Europe took an East German ship across the Baltic Sea. One of the ship's crew members from East Germany, a man in his 60s, struck up a conversation with the American student. After a while, the student asked the man how he had learned such good English, and the man explained that he had once lived in America. He said that for over a year he'd worked as a farmer in Oklahoma and California, that he'd planted tomatoes and picked ripe melons. It was, the man said, the happiest time of his life. Well, the student, who'd seen the awful conditions behind the Iron Curtain, blurted out the question, well, why did you ever leave? I had to, he said. The war ended. The man had been in America as a German prisoner of war. Now, I don't tell this story to make the case for former POWs. Instead, I tell this story just to remind you of the magical, intoxicating power of America. We may sometimes forget it, but others do not. Even a man from a country at war with the United States, while held here as a prisoner, could fall in love with us. Those who become American citizens love this country even more. And that's why the Statue of Liberty lifts her lamp to welcome them to the Golden Door. It is bold men and women yearning for freedom and opportunity who leave their homelands and come to a new country to start their lives over. They believe in the American dream, and over they make it come true for themselves, for their children, and for others. They give more than they receive, they labor and succeed, and often they are entrepreneurs. But their greatest contribution is more than economic, because they understand in a special way how glorious it is to be an American. They renew our pride and gratitude in the United States of America, the greatest, freest nation in the world, the last best hope of man on earth.
And by God, we are the last best hope for mankind before Christ returns. And this man understood American character. He understood the American people. I'm not given an idea that Donald Trump is wrong, by the way, about the immigrants that have come here in the last 25 years, most of which by government programs, by the way, of allowing them to come here unvetted, unchecked, and in many cases, they come over here to collect welfare now, which when Ronald Reagan was president, immigrants was not collecting welfare when they came here. They came here to work. They came here to be American. They came here to fulfill a dream. But the idea that a German prisoner of war missed the days that he was an American POW in a concentration camp in America over where he was living at that time shows you all you need to know. When I was growing up, a co-worker with my father at the Nestle Company was a refugee. He fled Nazi Germany Austria, actually, and came to America with his wife. They lost everything because of Adolf Hitler. And when his wife, many years later, in the 1970s, wanted to go back and visit the homeland, he refused to go. He said, "I left that country behind because they wanted to kill me. I am an American. I will," and he did, by the way. They traveled throughout the entire United States with their little camper, and they went to all these beautiful national parks and monuments across the country in their yearly vacations. He said, "I'm an American today, and the only place I want to go is America. I'm not interested in Europe. I'm not interested in any other corner of the earth, and I'm not interested in any other form of government. I am an American. I am not an Austrian. I am not a German. I'm not a German-American or an Austrian-American. I am just plainly an American." And that is the type of immigrants we really need. We can't shut the door on immigration. We need to make sure the people here want to be here for the right reasons. That I have no trouble with. And I have no trouble with the idea of deporting criminals that come over here to do mayhem that Biden allowed over this country. Some, I don't know, 10 million probably. Maybe 2 to 3 million are violent criminals. I am not against deporting those people. But the people that are over here to live the American dream, they should not be hindered. They should be helped, not by government programs, but just by leaving them alone. What we have seen with these ICE raids, in my opinion, what we have really seen is the targeting of the working immigrant who is undocumented versus the criminal immigrant. That's what we need to get rid of in this country right away. The first thing the Trump administration should have done was laser focus on the criminals causing mayhem to other immigrants and to all the people of the United States, like what happened when the two National Guard soldiers were shot by a Afghan refugee that turned out actually worked for our CIA. And I have to ask you a question. What is the CIA working with a man who ends up trying to shoot National Guards people in Washington, D.C.? These are the people we need to get rid of and that we need to vet. I will stand right with Donald Trump when he does that. But I do not see that's what's happening. I see crops not being picked in California. I see body shops that I sell to having no employees at all because most of them were Hispanic, especially in the southern United States, even as far north as Colorado. And these people are hiding because they're afraid of being deported. These are people paying income tax and Social Security that won't even collect their Social Security until they become a citizen. And it's that simple. Many are not going to be citizens, but they are still working. They are not our problem. People want to make it their problem. When Donald Trump even said we need visas for people that can do computer work because Americans are not trained for it, his own base turned on him saying, "Oh no, we have to give these jobs to Americans," because they do not have the common sense and the education to realize there are certain jobs that our schools do not prepare our students to learn. And one of those is computer programming and the internet and AI, which we are still leading the world, and China is trying to catch up with us, and they have not done so far. And that is the immigrant that has brought us this AI. Look at the people who run these AI companies and these chip companies. They are not what you would consider a white Anglo-Saxon American. They are mainly foreigners that came here legally, I want to say, and have built an empire as entrepreneurs, making this country the greatest country on the face of the earth. And I'm afraid that is going away. Now, tomorrow we're going to get into more of Donald Trump's policies versus Ronald Reagan's policies, where they agree with each other, and I would agree with both of them in that case, and where they disagree with each other. And I believe what you will see is Ronald Reagan was right 35 years ago, and Donald Trump is wrong. This is Bob Barney for The Plain Truth on a part one of the Reagan versus Trump series. And I hope everyone pays attention and looks up all of these comments, do some Google searches or AI searches, and listen and read what Ronald Reagan had to say versus Donald Trump and see which president you think was right. Bye-bye.